Chapter 17. Mrs. Rivington Talks. Colonel Rivington was out. Mrs. Rivington, however, was at home. Bobby was shown into a beautifully and expensively furnished drawing room and shook hands with Mrs. Rivington, who was beautifully and expensively dressed.
"I must apologize for coming to see you without warning, Mrs. Rivington," said Bobby, "but the matter is urgent. It's about our client, Mr. Alan Carstairs," he said. "He may have mentioned that we were working for him."
"I believe he did," said Mrs. Rivington. She was clearly the type of woman who would agree to something rather than admit she didn't know about it. A woman with more beauty than brains.
"About Mr. Carstairs," said Bobby.
"We haven't seen him for some time, about a month."
"When you took him down to Staveley?"
"Yes. He'd just arrived in London, and we were going down to Meroway Court for lunch, and up to Scotland next day for a couple of weeks, and Hubert really wanted to see Carstairs because he likes him so much, and so I said, 'My dear, let's take him down to the Bassington Frenches with us. They won't mind.' And we did. And of course, they didn't mind."
She came breathlessly to a pause.
"Did he tell you his reasons for being in England?" asked Bobby. "Oh, it was because of that millionaire, Savage, who was a friend of his. Savage's doctor told him he had cancer, and he killed himself. So sad."
"And did Mr. Carstairs know the Bassington Frenches?"
"Oh, no, but I think he liked them, though he was very quiet on the way back to London. I think something had upset him."
"You don't know what it was. Did he meet any of the neighbours, perhaps?"
"No, unless he did so when he went out for a walk after lunch. But he did ask a lot of questions about some people who lived near the Bassington Frenches. Some doctor."
"Dr. Nicholson?"
"Yes. Alan wanted to know all about him and his wife. It seemed strange when he didn't know them. But what is it you wanted to know about Mr. Carstairs?"
"I really wanted his address," said Bobby. "We've just had an important telegram from New York and need his instructions. But he hasn't left an address. And having heard him talk about you, I thought you might have news of him."
"Oh, I see," said Mrs. Rivington. "Well, I am very sorry, but I have no idea where he's staying now."
"I do apologize for taking up so much of your time," said Bobby, getting up.
Back in Brook Street, he and Frankie talked about what they had now learnt.
"It looks as though Chance took Carstairs to the Bassington Frenches," said Frankie. "So it's Nicholson who is at the heart of the mystery."
"Do you still insist that Roger Bassington French is innocent?" Bobby asked coldly.
"I can't believe he is a criminal."
"You can't deny the evidence that he changed the photograph."
"Damn the photograph," said Frankie.
Bobby drove up to Meroway Court in silence. Frankie got out of the car and went into the house without looking back. She opened the door of the library and stopped. Dr. Nicholson was sitting on the sofa, holding Sylvia Bassington French's hands. Sylvia jumped to her feet and came across to Frankie.
"He's been telling me about Henry's drug addiction."
She was crying.
"It's terrible."
And she ran out of the room. Dr. Nicholson had got up. His eyes, watchful as always, met Frankie's.
"Poor lady," he said. "It has been a great shock, but it is best that she knows the truth. I want her to persuade her husband to become a patient at my nursing home."